Welcome back, Survivor fans, to episode 13 of season 23, the penultimate episode of Survivor South Pacific. I am your host, Ralph Bayonetto, along with fellow host Chris, and we are here to talk about the comings and goings of the first episode of Final Five before Sunday's exciting finale.
Yeah. I got shorted again there. You get a full name, I just get a first name now? I mean...
Oh my God, really?
I'm just giving you a hard time. I'll chalk it up to you wanting to protect my privacy or something.
I don't know. I think those days are behind us. You know, we're public figures now.
Yeah, that's true. I suppose we're exposed to mockery and all that sort of stuff. You know, fair use, everything.
Wow, if people took the time to actually care enough to mock us, I would take that as a compliment.
Ralph, I'll have you know... I contemplated starting a meta podcast.
About our podcast.
About our podcast, yes. I contemplated starting one with Stacy where we broke down our podcast. It would mostly be criticism of you since I was going to be on the meta podcast. But
oh.
I knew you would appreciate it. I knew that no matter how much we cut you up as a host, you would love it in the meta world that it lived. And it's homage to Community and all that sort of stuff. That
you know, since I have this plug for him, I might as well say we need to save Community for all of you listening. You need to,
yes.
If you have a Nielsen box, please tune in to NBC at 7s whenever it returns.
Yeah,
on Thursdays.
Exactly. Yes,
and help us save Community.
Save the humans.
Yeah, 6 seasons in a movie.
What's that?
6 seasons in a movie.
What do you mean 6 seasons in a movie?
That's their battle cry. 6 seasons in a movie. It's from the episode where it's the fake memories episode, the fake flashback episode.
Okay.
And part of the fake flashbacks is Troy and Abed's obsession with the cape from NBC.
Oh, okay.
And they don't want to cancel, and Abed's chant is 6 seasons in a movie, and now, ironically or unironically, they are now facing the same fate as the cape. So the chant has become 6 seasons in a movie.
I don't get how they're even close to elimination. It doesn't make any sense.
They have terrible... They're like a 1.9 rating. Like, it's bad.
Really?
Yeah.
How could they be so...
They're up against The Big Bang Theory.
Oh.
And that show is a monster. And I hate them. I hate them for it. I should love that show, but I refuse to watch it.
What, Big Bang Theory?
Yes.
No, you know, I've thought about it. I actually thought it would be a pretty good show, you know, because I've seen a few clips here and there, and they found them amusing or whatever. But every once in a while, I'll actually sit down and watch an episode, and I end up finding it more mocking of geeks than mocking by geeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think it sort of purports to be mocking by geeks, but it doesn't. It feels like it's written by people who aren't actually geeks, who are trying to sound like geeks mocking the rest of the world. But
if you want mocking by geeks, Dan Harmon is the geek.
Well, exactly. Yeah, Community is the show. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this isn't a podcast about sitcoms, right?
It's a television podcast. We'll broaden our horizons. I mean, we got to do something to get some more viewers or listeners or whatever we're calling them.
So I kind of want to jump right to Redemption Island. I don't know if there's anything before that we need to talk about, because the wind shifts a lot during this episode, I feel like.
Yeah, the episode opened with the same thing I swear it opens with every single week. You know, them walking back to camp from Tribal Council, and somebody saying, and then there were blank. And I it drives me nuts. It's such an unoriginal, boring thing to say that everybody always says when they get back to camp, that I think I've decided that if I get on the show and make it to the merge, I will always arrive back at camp and say, and then there were one less. That way it's completely brainless. And I'm not even having to think about the number of people, you know, like just, and then there were fewer.
I didn't want to appreciate that, Chris, but I wasn't going to be a fan of that, but somehow I still find it entertaining.
Yeah. Maybe, and then there were fewer I'll go with. And then there were less. I'll workshop it, but it'll be, don't worry.
There's
whatever
not
it is,
as many here.
It'll be something that I can say every single time and not even have to modify the number or a plurality or anything like that.
So we get to the Elimination Challenge, and there's a slide puzzle, which is like Rush Hour again, and there's a block puzzle, which, you know, it has challenges, you know.
I like that puzzle. I was surprised at how heavily puzzly this challenge was. I mean, it's double puzzle, right?
Right. Puzzle.
Right. So,
unless you count hatcheting a rope athletic, but it only took one swing. So
no, it only took Edna
maybe
one
maybe
swing.
You had to hack at it. Maybe you had to hack at it and be a little more tilted.
Yeah, give it a or give it like you know, eight different ropes or something like that, so your arms are tired and it's gonna take.
Oh yeah, guess the right rope.
yeah, that's good too. I like that. Yeah.
So, unfortunately, we got teased last week that Edna might beat Ozzy, and I was convinced. I was like, well, Ozzy's going to win. Like, why else would they tease us with a possible Edna win if she's going to win? Because that would rob any kind of, you know, impact that that win might have.
Yeah. I thought it was going to happen.
About this.
What's that?
You don't feel very strongly about this.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was going to happen. I thought there was a possibility she might actually win.
The only reason she would have won is because she had five people helping her.
Yeah. Which, actually, that leads me to a question. You know, should they legislate observer assistance out of the game in that situation?
No.
No, you like it? You think it's good?
Yeah, it adds something. It definitely adds something.
I guess.
And I like it.
I mean, all it does is really add a little bit of bad blood, a little more bad blood when Ozzy comes back later on.
And you know, Edna's like, as much as she's appreciating the help, she's like, you, and I you know, pardon the language, but you.
Wow,
you know,
all right.
Like,
we're get that explicit guys, label on iTunes now, all right.
You, know, you guys, like, couldn't wait to get rid of me, and now you want me to win. It's like, you know, if I win, I'm only doing what you want, and if I lose, then it sucks for me. It's like,
right.
You know, you can't win that case, you know?
Well, that's true. It's true. It's a nice way of putting her in a spot where she's unhappy.
Suddenly you're
way.
Just their little tool of Ozzy elimination.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I enjoyed the puzzle. I really like that tower thing. I thought that was interesting. And I'm impressed with Ozzy. I mean, he pulled it out working against essentially six people.
I'd have melted. If I was him, I'd have been like so pissed that like I had six against one.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, Ozzy is pulling off is one elimination challenge away from pulling off what he precisely set out to do and said he was going to do. You know, it's not like there's something impressive about that, because it's not even like he just sort of ended up there. Like he put himself there, basically, right? I mean, he said, I'll just go there. This will be better for me.
Think he would have preferred that he didn't have to go as long as he did. You know, like, if it were up to him, I'm sure he would prefer, you know, not having to go as early. And because it reduces the opportunities for people to eliminate him. You know, like,
well, yeah,
like he was
but
obviously... Okay.
On the other hand, he's feeding himself. The guy's eating like six fish a day over there, whereas the others are splitting up a fish six ways.
I think it's more like making the best of a bad situation. You know, like, it's not like he's dying to get there, but, you know, once he's there, he's like, you know what, this is really good for me. So, I think I see it a different way.
Yeah. But, I mean, even you said a few weeks ago, you know, he's relieved of the burden of the strategic element of the game.
I think it was 3 days ago.
Was it? No. Was it? Maybe he did. I don't know.
Talking about having the antenna up and stuff like that.
Yeah. He doesn't have to sweat anything. He just sits there, waits for somebody to come along. And then Sophie mentioned another great point. Like, he's, you know, every person who gets eliminated, he's feeding them and he's playing psychologist with them as they are pissed off at everybody else. Like, he's
gracious
earning jury
in victory.
Votes.
Like, he's gracious in victory. You know, he doesn't like hoot or holler when he knocks someone out. He just sort of like is relieved that he's not gone, and you know, gives them a hug, and then gets told their sad story to Probst.
Yeah, Yeah. So, so what's next? I mean, we've got Albert back at camp, and Coach is, was it Coach who said Albert's going whatever way the wind blows or something like that? I thought that was really
that was
an odd
Coach's
statement.
Point.
Like, I thought it was an odd statement because, like, he wasn't over there parroting somebody else. And, you know, if anything, Albert deserves credit for constantly thinking in this game. I mean, it's certainly been, you know, Sophie's feeling that he's thinking too much and overcomplicating things a lot. But he certainly has never been somebody else's puppet. I thought that was a really... a really odd statement from Coach. Like, if anything, Albert's the one trying to direct the wind.
Yeah. No, I'm not sure where he's getting that sense that he's blowing the way the wind's blowing. If anyone, it would be someone like an Edna or a Rick blowing the way the wind's blowing just because they're not willing, you know, they're not going to try to make any waves of their own.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really, you know, Coach's logic for why Albert wants Sophie gone, like, he's like, and I think he thinks she's smarter than him, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, you know, I would see someone who I think is strategically superior to me as a threat, and I would want them gone.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I don't know what Coach's beef is with Albert thinking this is a good reason why Sophie should be out. Yeah, you don't want strategical players with you playing long in this game. You want, you know, you want people who won't be able to present their case in front of a jury, like a Rick.
Yeah.
So... you know, there should be no beef with Coach for him wanting to have Sophie gone. It just seemed like just cooking up something.
Yeah. Why does everybody fear Brandon? I don't get this. Like, Sophie's worried about Brandon. Coach is worried about Brandon.
I think Sophie makes the best case. Like, since Michaela was gone, since the merge, we haven't seen the outbursts from him. We haven't seen... He's put his foot in his mouth at Tribal only because he's putting the game plan on the table.
Right.
But really, if you look at it, that is just him doing his honest gameplay thing. Like, I'm going to play it straight. I'm going to be straight up to people. I'm going to avoid lying to people.
Yeah.
And you can make a case that he has played this game, you know, from the merge forward, the most honest way of anyone who's there. And
okay.
I think that in itself at least a passable argument for why someone should deserve $1 million or somewhere else, because who on that jury thinks that, you know, Brandon stabbed them in the back, you know? They're gonna see Coach as the guy who swayed Cochran into coming over to the other side. They're gonna see, you know, the double talking of Albert. They're gonna see through that. And, you know, you're gonna be left with choices like Brandon or Rick or someone like that, and you're going to be like, well, I think I'll take Brandon, you know? So, you know, I think he has an argument for the way he's played the game as to why he deserves to at least be the lesser of evils.
I guess the hang-up for me is that he has to then actually, like the case can be made, but I don't think it can be made by him. Like, I guess that's the thing for me that feels so strange about this fear of Brandon. Like, I don't know. I think Brandon's a great person to sit next to at the end. Because...
I think it's changed. I think initially he was, but I think it's changed.
Oh, I guess part of it is because he might do something as crazy as say, don't vote for me at the final tribal count. You know, he might
say...
Yeah,
but that may be all the more reason someone wants to vote for him. It's like, you know, it's like the same thing with, like, you watching movies, it's like the guy you want as the leader is the one who doesn't want it, you know?
I guess. I don't know. It just seemed very strange to me, this total 180. And then what I'm like, I mean, I'm jumping way ahead here, but did Coach lose points there with everybody on the jury?
Whatever. You're fast-forwarding quite a bit.
I did, I'm sorry.
I mean, I was, you know, I think later on we can sort of break down
all right.
Jury impact. And that was definitely something I wanted to do, is talk about, like, okay, like, you know, of all the moves we've seen this episode, like, how is this going to play with the jury? And I think that we can get into at the appropriate time.
I hijacked. Sorry. You go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. let me drive this boat, all right?
All right.
I'm good. So I think, you know, right before we get to the immunity challenge, You know, Russell walks up, Russell, Hans, Brandon walks up on Coach and Albert discussing the potential of voting out Brandon. And, you know, Coach blows up at Brandon for interrupting the conversation, and he walks up on it, but he certainly doesn't interrupt. You know, I watched it again because there was just some nuance that I maybe missed the first time, and he waits patiently for there to be a breaking conversation. He's like, "What's up?"
Right.
Yeah, and for Coach to think that it's unnatural for him to be suspicious and to call that bullying was so out of left field and just an attempt to sort of rile Brandon, but like at the same time, like
it was reaction formation.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a total like the thing. I actually wrote down that I was very I was semi impressed with Brandon's radar there. I mean, he like because the first thing he said or close to the first thing he said was, you know, I'm not getting a very good vibe from this conversation over here. You know, is something going on? You know, whatever. And obviously, they had just been discussing, you know, is it Brandon or is it Sophie? Albert doesn't have anything to hide because he's making the case for Sophie. And as Brandon walks over, Coach, who's laying in the hammock and can see Brandon coming over, you know, he goes into a broken record, which, like, is... It's like the worst ad lib I've ever seen. You know, the only thing worse than that would have been just pure silence when Brandon showed up.
No, I think that's better than pure silence, because I think it's...
No, that's what I'm saying, is the only thing worse would have been pure silence.
But I'm saying, I don't think it's that bad. I disagree with you that it was his broken record routine was so transparent, because...
I don't know, it just screamed of somebody looking for something else to say because he couldn't say what he wanted to say.
But I thought the transition was good. It's like, you don't understand how the jury goes. And it was like, okay, well, they're talking about jury votes. So, you know, I thought it was...
Well, but then going off on
arguable,
Brandon,
I think
when he goes off on Brandon for it...
That should have been the red flag.
That's what I'm saying. Is that just was the icing on the cake? And it's like, okay, that just further, you know, reinforces my thought that something fishy is going on here, because somebody just, because you just tried to bite off my head, you tried to spin it back on me.
I love the shot of him staring out at the water, saying, "I know what my next move is." And Brandon walks up and he's like, "Hey, brother, calm down and like
have some bread."
So good, like, you know, there have been so few juicy moments like that where like someone's talking about someone that's right there, and like,
yeah.
You know, you had so little of that this year, and it was just, I really loved that whole moment.
No, it was excellent. And I have to say, I feel bad for Coach. I mean, this guy cannot seem to, like, rid himself
of Hans'
influence. Yeah, I mean, it's like...
He's got ghosts, man.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I just remember the episode when Brandon told him. I mean, the guy, he nearly fell to his knees just walking down the path to go get water or whatever. And again, as I believe I said back then, I don't believe that was remotely acting on Coach's part when he did that.
Yeah, like, no, it was pure exasperation.
I think he was completely staggered by it.
Yeah. It's like, I thought I had my chance to do this.
Right, and now I got to deal
on my terms, and now I've allied myself with Hans's nephew. I've given him my word.
Right.
I've now
spent time with Hans's brother as well. The poor guy just can't seem to get free of them.
Okay, so the immunity challenge got physical aspects of the wall climb. Got definitely some mental aspect. Although, you know what, the mental was kind of played down. This isn't too far from Put Numbers in Order.
Yeah, well, it's a little. I'll give it a full step above the Putting Numbers in Order challenge.
Okay, because... how many steps are we talking about?
What's that?
Like, how many steps above this challenge was the?
I said one full step.
But I'm talking about this. Compare this immunity challenge to the elimination challenge that. Edna and Ozzy had to do. How many steps are we talking from?
Oh,
from the
well,
later
that's
challenge
like,
to the other
that's like three
challenge.
Or four steps.
Okay, I just want to know like what kind of scale we're dealing with here.
Yeah, I mean it's very simple pairing up, but you're also talking about pairing like, you know, you have these tiles laid out there. If I recall correctly, their tiles are the same color as the board they're laying them on.
Okay.
And then you've got the lines. All you have are just lines on these tiles, and so it could be very easy for your eyes to just sort of like glaze over as you're looking at these things. trying to get them to fit together, especially after having to climb that little rope wall 5 times, which was no small feat.
No.
You know, your energy's going to get low. So
I was hoping more people would take the slide approach, but apparently that was just too painful.
No, yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
Albert took the fall off of it approach.
Right, he took the just pick my feet up and see what happens. But I was happy.
How did he not end up with a horribly sprained ankle? I'd have broken an ankle. I guarantee you.
No, you got sand. Sand helps.
I don't know, man.
But I actually really liked the challenge because it was new. You know, like so many challenges we see at this point. You know, 23 seasons in are
recycled.
Rehashes and of old challenges.
They need to go back to the ocean more. Return to the ocean.
Well, I know, yes. There's always that. But I was just happy to see a challenge that was not that felt rather new. And this felt pretty new to me. I didn't feel like I'd seen anything like it.
Yeah.
Or close to it.
Yeah, especially the rope bag thing. That was like interesting, especially cuz like
you gotta hold yourself up.
It seemed easy at first, but then you're like, "Holy crap, I have to hold my hand on that rope with one hand and untie a bag with another hand."
Right.
And then fall off this thing without breaking my ankle.
Yeah. Yeah. I really hope, actually, I don't know, I mean, I don't know why, but I really hope they bring back that challenge that Boston Rob won last season.
With the steps?
The steps, yes. The one where he was just spent. Like, every last carbohydrate that was in his body got used. That was, to me, was just interesting. I mean, even though it was not a terribly complex challenge, if I recall correctly, there was no rhyme or reason to the boards you brought up. You could just, it wasn't like a puzzle factor, right? You didn't have to, because they had to drag the steps up that they were putting on there. But
there were pegs and holes that fit only certain patterns, so you did have to match.
Oh,
the pattern
they weren't bundled. Oh, I thought they were bundled or something like that. Oh, so
they were bundled, and then you took the bundle, you unloaded the bundle, and then you had to like sort out which step you needed. So like they would go up there and they'd be like big, little, big, and like they would figure out like what the pattern was of the step they needed so they could get the right board.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There were key mistakes made, and that's what swung it, is that like someone would bring the wrong board up.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, "Oh crap, I gotta go down and grab the next."
Oh, that's right. That's right. I remember that now, yeah. I really liked that challenge. It was, it was interesting to watch just for the pure, you know, exhaustion that it took to complete it. And, you know, and on top of it that you had, if I recall correctly, I think your girl, Ashley and Grant were, no, Andrea, it was Andrea and Grant, who were close on his heels. Mm-hmm. And
no, he came from behind.
Who?
Rob. Both Andrea and Grant made mistakes that let Rob get ahead.
Oh, really? I thought Rob was in the lead basically the whole way.
Nope.
Well, either way, they were there in it, thus creating a dramatic finish, as opposed to one person just getting way out in front and mm-hmm. being able to coast. You know, in that case, it obviously is pretty boring because they could sort of, you know, take it easy, making sure they just stay, you know, 5 steps ahead of the other people or something like that. And you know, and then turn it on if they see somebody getting close or whatever. I don't know. I'd really like to see that challenge again. But you're right. Returning to the ocean would certainly be welcome as well.
Yeah. So in the biggest upset of the day, not Brandon winning the immunity challenge. The biggest upset of the day.
Rick getting chosen.
Well, Rick getting chosen was also a big upset, and I enjoyed his yeehaw, or he should have yeehawed.
Yeah.
But why is there not a product placement with the pizza? How many pizza chains do we have in this country appealing to the audience?
That's
that watches
true.
Survivor?
I noticed that as well. I was looking to try to read what it said, and then I realized it just said South Pacific Pizza.
Which doesn't say anything really. Generic.
Maybe that's like a chain down in Samoa or wherever they are.
Oh gosh.
I suppose it's possible. Yeah, that's where they are, Samoa. Yeah. Do you realize actually that all of the Hants seasons have been filmed
in Samoa.
In Samoa, there have been 4 seasons filmed in Samoa, and a Hants has been present for all 4 of them. and precisely for 4 of them, no Hants has been outside of Samoa.
Right, they cannot film in Samoa without a Hants.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I did not see that Rick choice coming. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, that's a jury though.
You think that's what it was?
Has to be.
Do you think Brandon is that intelligent?
I mean...
Wow, we got a good 3 or 4 seconds of dead air out of that one.
Yeah, I struggle with giving Brandon credit. I really do. And you're right. I'm having an issue with that right now. So
I'm going to have to measure my words a little bit. I think he just did a quick eeny, meeny, miny, moe in his head or something.
You know, I think maybe he kind of looked and like looked for the most hungry. And Rick certainly looks downtrodden of all of them. So
yes.
He's the old one, you know.
I guess. On the other hand, he didn't even. I mean, he didn't even wasn't able to even able to garner, you know, a non-vote from Rick out of that. You know, like Rick ended up voting for him after he gave
him
pizza.
That's right. But we can talk about that later. I feel like surrendering immunity is an invitation. It's an open invitation. Vote for me.
Sort of. Yeah.
It's downright a slap in the face. Like,
all right.
Look at me. I'm so awesome. I don't need this. I dare you to vote for me.
I suppose, yeah. I guess I could see that side of it.
Okay. So the scramble was one of the best we've seen all season. I don't know which one would be above it.
Albert gets the screws put to him.
In a good way. Like, you like seeing somebody have to pay for the stories that they've told. And this is one of those cases where Albert did not successfully elude being ganged up on by the people he is trying to double talk, and it really bit him right in the ass.
I'm really surprised about it, because I actually did not really feel like, I mean, obviously, you know, we don't see everything, but I didn't feel like Albert had done much with Rick anyway, so I don't know why we had that. I guess we had that little scene just to help set it all up, where he's talking to Rick. But I don't know why he's even bothered with Rick. Why is he even bothering with Rick?
Well, because he needs Sophie out, you know.
Oh, and so you think he needs Rick? To
I mean,
get rid of
I think
Sophie?
I think if anything, you have to try to. It's hard to say because. Theoretically, he could just try to stay solid with Coach and Brandon, and it wouldn't matter if it was Rick or Sophie at that point.
Right.
I don't really know.
Yeah, I thought that was odd of him to try to go and do that, and then, you know, of course it ends up backfiring.
How did he know that the key was Brandon? How did he know?
How did who know?
Albert. How did he know the key was to get Brandon back in his house? Because it was so surgical how he got Brandon turned around.
Yeah, I mean, I.
It really,
honest,
that's the word. That's the word. It was surgical. He was like.
Do you really think Albert did that great a job with it?
Oh, it was great. He's like, you know,
see,
he appeals
he
to
did.
His heart.
I think he just says,
"You're making me look like you're making me look like a bad dude." Like he's like appealing to all these things that he knows are buttons for Brandon. You know what I'm saying?
I guess
he pushes the right buttons, and I don't know that. Other people in this game would necessarily have been able to do that, you know. I think Coach would have felt bad trying to spin it that way, you know, in front of Brandon.
I guess
I don't know that Sophie would have.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it just doesn't feel like I feel like this was more indicative of
hands
of Brandon's fickleness than anything else of Brandon's, you know. Simple-mindedness out there than anything else, that he just, you know, all he does is, oh, God, don't even get me started on this turning to God stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting, I'll tell you that much. It's very interesting.
Interesting is not the first adjective that comes to mind for me, but...
Well, but, you know, it's like, you know, it's you can make a case that ever since he has allowed Faith to be the dominant voice of many in his head, he has been a calmer individual. You know? He has not made things difficult for himself.
It's true.
He started playing this way.
I guess that's true. I mean, he even when Coach kind of bit his head off a little bit about that, about the, coming over to that conversation, like, he remained impressively level there. He's, you know, like, he's I wrote this down about tribal council, but I guess it's really true in general. Like, he is, Brandon is like unsettlingly serene about everything.
Right. Yes, and that's the biggest argument you can make to his faith being his asset, you know, yeah. is that he's not freaking out, that he doesn't, you know. But then there's this fickleness of giving the immunity necklace away.
It's like talking to Hal from 2001 or something, you know? It's like this very settling voice, but I'm sorry, I'm going to have to trap you in this spaceship. You know? Like...
He goes to talk to Coach, and you know, Coach has been swept up in this faith resurgence that up until this season we didn't know he had Christian faith.
Right, he was much more a man of the world than he was a man of God.
Yes, and it was appalling that Brandon would say God speaks to me. And
yes,
more appalling.
Yeah, he said it, and he literally said that it wasn't
more
even...
appalling that you know Coach comes back to him with and says, you know, I'm going to pray on it and do what God tells me to do. And if he's truly a man of God, I feel like Brandon's response should be. Yes, do whatever God's will is. But he says, I really think he doesn't want you to write my name down.
Right.
Which is so either arrogant or this is revealing that he's truly just trying to use his faith as an advancer in this game.
Well, you know? Or he just believes that he believes so much in his faith that, you know, he's so blindly following it that he believes that the reason that God is telling him to give his immunity to Albert is because God has this big plan for him, and this is the big move for him. And God's on his side more than anybody else's because he's clearly following God more than anybody else. I don't get the arrogance out of it, and I don't get the... And I don't get it as a device either. I don't think it's either of those. I think
you think it's genuine, like his pure blind faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to argue that. I think that's definitely one of the possibilities. But
yeah,
you know, it just seems appalling to me that anyone
from anybody else, I would say I would lean towards those other two things that you said. But from him, I mean, it's certainly a possibility, and if it is, then he's conned me big time. Yeah.
If God speaks to him, doesn't that make him a prophet?
Isn't yeah, well, him... I mean, we've got we got an island full of prophets out there. I mean, they should change this show to, you know, the New Testament or something. I don't know. The Newer Testament.
So this would be chapter 23, verse 13.
Sure. I could not tell you where the New Testament ends.
No, it's only because we're... Episode 13 of season 23. That's
right. Oh, I see what you're saying. Gotcha. Okay.
So let's move on to Tribal Council. Brandon wastes no time. Probst tries to talk to him about it, and he surrenders it immediately.
That was amazing. That was fantastic. Most people like wait for the moment to do it. Like he just jumped Jeff right there.
I think most people would feel the water to see if they would be in any kind of trouble.
Yeah. And if nothing else, you know, wait until right before the vote, and that way there's no talk about this to give people time to jockey and figure out what they're supposed to do with this.
Right.
Although usually, I don't know. Actually, no. You know what? Now that I think about it, I think his decision actually was the right one. To do it early was actually a good one because it gives him time to lay it on real thick on Coach. You know.
Yeah, and I thought the way that he laid it on Coach made it impossible for Coach to win. Like,
yeah.
I don't mean win necessarily the big game, but it's going to affect his big game. But
right. He
just
comes
in
out
this
looking
particular
bad
battle,
this.
He's going to come out looking bad just because he's like, I know I've had faith in my friend here. I know he's not going to vote for me. I know Albert's not going to vote for me, so you know I'm at peace or whatever. But then he later on changes his mind. He's like, you know, he realizes that things may not be as rosy as he had hoped.
Yeah, I mean, I think if he waits till right before the vote to do it, then the auto thing that happens is everybody who was going to vote for Albert votes for Brandon, and then he's definitely up a creek. You know, this way it gives him an opportunity to really, really pull down Coach's pants in front of the jury if he gets there, right?
The story about you know having brawls with his gang and. showing up at a certain time and no one else showing up with him is so applicable in the sense that, like, you know, he will blindly follow this company line, but, you know, ultimately everyone's going to look out for their best interest, which is not be in a brawl.
Right.
So it was a great allegory.
The poetry was very fitting there.
Yeah, I loved it. And then Probst, I thought, killed it when he, like, turned it around on Albert. He's like, you know, you as a Christian man, would you be willing to return that gesture? Well, God, that was priceless.
It was great, and it was the thing about it for me that was weird for me is, like, if he just turns around and gives it back to Brandon, then it just becomes this, like, pardon the expression, it just becomes one big circle jerk, you know? Like, all right, why don't we all just pass it around and, like, see, you know, it's like we're playing, like, a version of Russian roulette or something. We'll just pass the necklace around and see who the person is who's not strong enough to pass it to the next guy, you know? Like, but then the only thing is the guy who's not strong enough to pass it to the next guy, he's the guy who's definitely not going home, you know?
Right.
So I think it's kind of silly to put that back
but
on.
Part of, I mean, you know, Coach has resisted the temptation to use his hidden immunity idol, although just the threat of having it has killed any chance. You know, if you're going to flush that thing out, you need a large, you know, coalition against you for that to happen. So
he's
been very intelligent about not even talking about it, you know, like that's just been great.
That thing has sat in the, you know, it was brought up by Edna once last week. And it came up this time in Tribal Council, and that's like the only time we've heard about it since the merge, right? I mean,
yeah.
So yeah, he's done a good job of keeping that under wraps. I thought the thing with, like I said, I thought the thing with Albert was, you know, it was sort of silly. You know, trying.
He's
to
talking out. He's talking two ways. He's like, "Oh, there's a bigger reason to be in the game." It's like, "Come on, Albert."
Oh yeah. He put on a great show.
I
actually give Albert a little bit of credit. I think he put on a really good show there. You know, it was obviously only for an audience of one in Brandon, but I think he put on a good show there with this. I developed a big tighter bond with Brandon because I'm sure I have little doubt that Brandon was eating that up.
I mean, if you're going to go to the links to give it to him, of course you're going to eat it up. You're going to look for anything.
Right.
You know?
But here's my question. Do you legitimately believe that – or do you believe that Albert legitimately thought that Brandon was safe, or do you think he was just saying that? Or do you think he was – that he didn't even give it a thought?
And he didn't give it a
thought. And he just said that because he knew that's what he needed to say.
That's what he needed to say.
Yeah.
That's what he means. So.
And he literally hadn't even considered whether or not Brandon was really in danger or not.
I want to have this conversation about how this is going to play with the jury. I mean, if Brandon gets to the end, you know, he returns from redemption, he finds his way back, probably by winning out.
Yeah.
You know, how does he spin this?
What do you mean, how does he spin this?
Well, I mean, like, how's this going to play? Like, you're sitting on the jury, you watch him give it up, you know, you watch him get sent packing. How does this impact your view of how he's playing the game?
Well, me, if I'm sitting on the jury, I don't think I was ever voting for him in the first place. If he makes his way back, you know, only if the people sitting with him are equally less deserving do I probably give him my vote for the million. But then again, I don't think it's possible for him to be sitting with – I think it's actually impossible for him to be sitting with people who are – with two people who are equally undeserving or something. You know, Rick's the only person who I think is in the same neighborhood of undeserving as Brandon.
What makes Sophie deserving?
I think she's played a fairly strategic game. You know, I mean, she's been – a very under the radar type, like
she hasn't cooked up a single move, Chris.
Yes, but she's also been in on a lot of moves, and I think she's made the right decision for her every time. You know, she's been brought in on a lot of moves by Albert, and every time she's gone against it, certainly choosing the status quo over the big move is always easier. So I'm not saying she made any tough decisions and came out on the right side of them. I mean, she made a lot of easy decisions and came out on the right side of them. But
let me give you a scenario.
Okay.
Final three, Brandon, Rick, Coach.
Coach wins.
You're telling me that the people who were sent there by him, by his machinations to turn Cochran.
No, it doesn't even matter, because he's got Ozzy's vote. He's got, I think he gets at least two or three, if not four, of the other Savians. I think he gets Cochran's vote, because Cochran's a super fan.
I don't think it's as clean as you see it. I really don't. I think that's a scenario that's really good for Brandon, because...
that's true. I mean, he's got the person who turned on him.
Right, he's got the person who turned on him, who he put trust in. He says, I made this move trusting in my alliance with Coach, and he completely threw me under the bus. And he was the tiebreaker vote. So I think there are arguments to be made there where that's the scenario in which he could walk away with at least three or four votes, which would make things very interesting.
It's true. You can win with four. Because a jury of nine, you can win with four if the other five are split. It's possible there. That's probably his best case. If he's up against Albert, he might even have if it's him, Rick, and Albert, I think it's still a good chance for him.
Yeah.
Because it's tough.
Although, if I was voting on those three, and I had some of the sour grapes that the other trap had, I think I would vote for Albert on the basis of getting a guy to give me his immunity necklace. That's huge. Like, if you can spin someone in circles so much that they're willing to give you an immunity necklace, that is a huge move.
Yeah, okay. I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm very much looking forward to the outcome of Redemption, because both are really good storylines. If Brandon comes back in this game, I just would love to see him face Coach again, just to know, what that conversation is like.
Well, and the interesting
in the context
thing
of the game,
I think you could see, it'd be interesting to see, does Brandon come back, still...
I want to see Coach talk his butt off and be like, we sent you there to get rid of Ozzy, and you did it. You're our hero. And, try to spin this thing in a we welcome you back kind of way.
Yeah. But what I'm interested in is, would Brandon be able to come back and, remain adherent to his mantra that he's tried to live everything by here? Or would he be tempted to come back and just go Waco on it?
I don't think he has that in him anymore.
You don't think he does?
I really don't.
Okay.
But I think that's what we're gonna see that bear out.
I think it became evident to me here that if they're gonna continue this Redemption Island thing, they need to start bringing back the Redemption Island player to make six people instead of making five, because at a five-person vote, if the way they're doing it now, they're having a five-person vote, the person gets voted out, goes to Redemption Island, winner comes back, and you have five again. But at that five-person vote, more often than not, I think you're going to have a 3-2 split in that five-person vote, which then means that the one person left over just takes whoever comes back from Redemption Island and... they're back in the same boat they were in before, Whereas if you do it coming off of a six-person vote, you have 3-3 maybe that was a tie broken somehow, but I think you have more potential for a mix for getting mixed up, for things getting mixed up when you come back. On the other hand, it obviously puts the person coming back from Redemption Island in a tougher spot, because they might, the general assumption is you come back from Redemption Island, you have to win your way to the final, and so, you're going to have to win out with one extra challenge. On the other hand, either way, you had to win one extra challenge. It's a matter of whether you're winning one extra in the main tribe or winning one extra at Redemption Island, you know?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I got a little lost in the conversation there. I'm distracted here by looking at my email. And I'm sorry for taking the conversation off the tracks, but my Google Ads have links to Prayer to God, Christian Faith, God, Spirit of God, and then the last one is Subway coupon codes. So
why
clearly
do you have
our
all
discussion
this God stuff?
Because of all the stuff I've typed in my Survivor notes.
Oh, you email your notes to yourself?
I email my notes to myself. That's where I keep my notes.
I see. So it's all of your ads have been fed off of all of the God talk in your notes. Very nice.
And Anytober, apparently. So
exactly. Did you put Anytober notes in
there? I don't know, apparently, but Subway's here. interesting. Okay, what's left?
Well, I mean, I hate to turn this to a hot button subject, but this episode did a great job of demonstrating why I hate religion.
Wow, you really stepped in it.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I'll admit it. You know, Coach, I didn't write it down exactly. I wish I had. But I think Coach says something to Brandon after the votes have been read or whatever.
And I wrote it down. You want it?
Oh, you yeah, what is it?
It's God's will, go in redemption.
Yeah, exactly. And this is why I hate religion. Because it provides people a means to pass the buck. Like, Coach, God didn't tell you to vote for Brandon. God could not give less of a crap about Survivor, okay? Like, he did not tell you to vote for Brandon. You voted for Brandon, and you're using God and your spirituality as a means to pass the buck so that you are somehow not culpable for your actions. And it drives me nuts. And this to me is the foundation of religion, that people don't want to have to deal with consequences. And this is where all of religion was born out of to me. And like I said, this just Coach's words there were, and I'm so glad you wrote them down, they are exhibit A in my argument for why religion is not nearly as great as it should be.
This has been the focal point of anyone's opposition to religion throughout the years. Things like the Spanish Inquisition or mm-hmm. other atrocities have been committed in the name of a faith, of guidance from a higher figure. So I understand where you're coming from. I'm certainly not going to... I've expressed my distaste for how religion is... a tool in this game in episodes past, so I don't know that I need to restate it here, but I definitely see where you're coming from, and it's pretty abominable to try to say that anything that happens on a reality show is of God's will.
Right, right. And even worse, it's like, and if he really is someone of faith, you know, to be honest, if he isn't some, this is really, really sad, and it probably speaks things about me that I probably shouldn't let be known to the public, but I think I respect Coach a whole lot if he's actually not a man of faith at all, and is just using this as a ploy. Versus if he's actually a man of faith, because if he's actually a man of faith, then this is a bunch of BS. I mean, like if you really are a man of faith, and I'm not, but if I also were someone of faith, I would find what he's doing blasphemous, you know?
Yeah.
Like, to pass the buck off to God, to blame God for why Brandon went home, like, that's baloney.
Yeah. So, there was a pastor of Tim Tebow's this week who, when interviewed... Yeah, that's right, we're talking Tebow. He said that winning 5-6 games in a row, whatever it is, this is not luck, you can't call it luck anymore. He said, this is God's favor. He is favoring Tim Tebow.
Oh my goodness!
I know. This is like, again, like it's you know, for someone who is pure in spirit and purpose, I would find this blasphemous, just like you. And I think there's stuff to cringe about in terms of like like, I, you know, if I, again, if I was devout, I'd be like, wow, I really wish they wouldn't say that. At the same time, I think there's things to be really proud of. And again, like I said, since Brandon kind of let religion become his dominant voice, he really has calmed down. He really has settled into a place of harmony within the group, and I think that in itself is admirable. But
yeah, I see
both sides. Yeah. So, I am looking forward to see how this plays out. We have one more episode on Sunday, 2 hours of show, 1 hour of the reunion, the cast reunion, which has been lackluster of late, which it could be again just because of the lack of sizzle we've had this season. So, look forward to that.
I have to say, I just, sorry to cut you off. Before we wrap up, I want to say, as much as I think Brandon is a bit of a nitwit and is way out of his league, in fact, he even said, the quote from him was, this game is not made for me. I think what he meant to say, or at least he should have said, is I'm not made for this game. As much as he seems out of place in this game, I do want to say that, like, his metamorphosis, if you will, in the game there is, it represents, you know, the good things that can come of religion, and I don't think that religion is all bad. His metamorphosis represents a lot of the good that can come of it, but Coach has done a great job of exposing a lot of the paradoxes and contradictions of religion as well. So I should save all of this for
while. I appreciate your backpedaling, Chris. I want to say, if Westboro Baptist Church shows up on your street tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised. Anyways.
I'll save it all for my other podcast, Hymnal Council.
Expect our recap of the finale on Monday morning. We had scheduled it for recording around 10, which means posting around 1 or 2. So, I guess this is the point where we snuff the torch, Chris.
I don't think I can get behind this sign off of snuff the torch.
Snuff the torch, Chris.
Without laughing.
Snuff it.
We'll have to workshop that a bit. You can find us on Twitter at Tribal Podcast, and you can email us. The address is podcast@tc.vanby.net.
Thanks for listening, guys, and we will see you Monday afternoon. Bye.